This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, the time is 4:45. The meeting will come to order. John, yeah.
Mariah Dege.
Here.
Joseph Anderson.
Here.
Morgan Baker.
Here.
Colin Benedict.
Here.
RMA Cass.
Probably late.
Yeah, if we don't know, just like we'll wait till they walk in. He's gonna come late.
John Clancy.
Late.
Josiah Garba.
Present.
Jacob Pite.
Late.
Excused. Wait, he's not gonna be here. Excused. No, unexcused. Sorry. Valentina, what do you think?
No, he didn't tell me.
Unexcused, thank you.
Unexcused?
Yeah, you have to say that.
Masa Haddad?
Here.
Catherine Huang?
Here.
William Kroll?
Here.
Yifan Lee?
Here.
Gavin Martin?
Here.
Nick Matoka?
Here.
Liam Ordonez?
Probably late.
Excuse.
Indigo Pavlov?
Here.
Tomas Reuning?
Here.
Lucas Smith?
Late.
I didn't get a note.
Do we think it's the room?
I think it's
these people aren't usually late.
There's also snow, the weather.
I just went into regular
late.
And walked to Willard Street.
Yeah.
That's why I was like right on.
Noah Watson?
Yeah.
Ryan Weintraub?
Archie?
No.
Excuse. Okay.
Let's not do that again.
Zuyin Shu.
On her way.
Late, coming.
Valentina Shu.
Here.
Jacob Youngblood.
Here.
Okay, everyone, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Obviously, we're not in our traditional setting, so that means a multitude of things for everyone to consider. First, if you're having a side conversation, everyone in this room can hear you. So understand the room. Second, we won't be in here next week, so don't worry. This is a one-time thing as we're trying to sort out the audio in the memorial room, so don't worry about that. And that's it. Also, if you're on the quieter side of talking and you are talking, please project because there are no microphones. So if you have a loud voice, perfect. If you have one on the quieter side, just know to speak up a bit. Totally understanding. So we'll go ahead and get into announcements. Kat.
First announcement, we have Sprint on Sunday. Please let Valentina know if you can't make it. It's probably in the same place as last time, which is on West Campus.
Colin.
Okay, yeah, so I just wanted to make an announcement about a couple of events that are coming up in the next week that I thought you should all be aware of. On Monday, November 11th, there is the Canandaigua Treaty Renewal that will take place in Canandaigua, New York. For those of you that don't know, the Canandaigua Treaty was signed between the Six Nations of the 120th Confederacy back in 1794. And the United States of America, and basically we do a treaty renewal each year to commemorate the spirit of friendship and, that's it, just friendship. Maybe not even that anymore. That exists between the United States and the Six Nations. It's a really good way to affirm simultaneously our land rights and our treaty rights and like our sovereignty status that we have with like the United States. So that's taking place on Monday, November 11th. If any of you are actually interested in attending that, the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program is sending a couple of bands of people that will be from Guego Monday at 10 a.m. and we'll get back at 6. So basically what happens is that there's a march that starts at the elementary school in Canandaigua and ends at the courthouse where the original treaty was signed, and Yohanga Goli Wadekwa, the words before all else, are spoken, and there's a couple of speakers that talk about the history of the treaty, and capture perspectives from both sides on it. So that's Monday. On Friday, there's also a Catholic Coalition that's going on. Thomas, do you want to speak on that?
Next Friday, November 15th, the Latinx community will be commemorating the 25th anniversary of the Latino Living Center, as well as the 26th anniversary of the Day Hall Takeover. For y'all who don't know, the Day Hall Takeover was organized by Latinx students on campus in 1993. In response to racist incidents that happened on campus, they took over Day Hall, protested, had 9 demands. The final demand, which was the creation of the Latino Living Center, we are celebrating our 25th year this year. The event will begin at, I think, 4:15 at Day Hall, and then they will walk from there to the LLC. At the LLC, they will host the Catholic Meche, and Dean Peñarol, who is the dean of the law school and is actually the leader of the protests when they happened on campus, will be speaking, which is pretty awesome. So if you guys want to go through, it's a pretty cool opportunity to learn about what led to the creation of the LLC and what it stands for.
Great. Anything else? Nope. Do you have a question?
No, can I announce something?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Humexathon is happening next weekend. Humexathon is the Human Ecology, so the Human Ecology is a marathon where all majors can combine together to solve one big policy issue. And I was asked to create a team from Student Assembly, so if you're interested, please hit me up. Thank you.
Great.
So if you guys want to put this in our Slack too to remind us, that's also perfectly acceptable.
Just a quick announcement from me. As you know, I am the chair of the SAFC Transformation Ad Hoc Committee. Progress has been really wonderful with it. We've tackled every major scope item that was listed in the resolution, looking at the tier system, looking at deadlines, waves of funding, looking at a variety of different things. We're moving on to formalize all of these in the guidelines of what SAFC will be looking like. My goal is to have like a kind of overview document either next meeting or the meeting after, or at least by the end of this semester, depending on if life gets busy, to kind of outline the major changes of it. And then in the next semester, we're going to have a couple of major presentations and focus groups with organizations who have kind of had turbulations with SAFC to see what they like about the changes of SAFC, what they don't like, to make any adjustments. And then we'll have a fully realized change set to SAFC. If you're ever hearing things about SAFC, please don't hesitate to let me know so we can start incorporating those changes within SAFC. And if you're interested, technically there is still one seat left in the committee. They meet Thursday, 8 to 9 p.m. over in Willard Strait, room 402, where essentially we go through the bureaucratic guidelines and make changes to those. Any questions on the SAFC update or things on SAFC? No? And like I said before the meeting started, we will be having an executive session after this meeting to talk about appointments to university committees, specifically the Gorge Safety Committee, which I put in the Slack. So moving on to open microphone.
All right. We're going to move to open microphone. So if you have any members of the community who wish to speak, please come sit at the table in the middle. And I'm going to close open microphone.
If anyone down in that corner wants to like move, there's a seat next to Osai, seat next to Nick, if you want to be closer, or if you want to not be out in the island. Okay. Swearing in of new members, we're not going to do that because the sheets aren't with us today. That's okay. We have this on the agenda every week, and we always just skip it. It's fine. next, we'll move on to approval of the minutes for October 31st, 2019, so people can just take a look at those minutes.
In page 2, item 12, it says I asked someone else who is asking the definition of the EEOC, and you think that it's EEOC, two E's, and then item 14 as well, with EEOC, two E's.
Second. I'm sorry, so you already seconded.
There's been a second. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll approve that. I have an amendment in the CU tonight discussion. I, as chair, asked for the meeting to be extended until 8 p.m., and that was approved. There's not, like, the assembly approved it. There wasn't, like, in that.
Oh, okay.
So it's whatever XXIV is. That's 24, I think.
Yeah, that is
24 in the CU Tonight discussion. It says I move to extend the meeting until 8 p.m., so there just needs to be a sub-bullet saying that that motion was approved. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thanks. Anything else?
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve. There's the second. Any dissent? All in favor of approving the October 31st minute, please raise your hand. Aye, please. All opposed. All abstaining by a vote of 21 to 0 to 1. The minutes for October 31st have been approved. Now we'll move on to byline reports. Mariah.
I'm just going to stay here.
Okay.
Let's see. So first is EARS. As many of you know, EARS is a counseling service. They provide counseling, I'm pretty sure, five or six nights a week, for like several hours each night. They are completely anonymous. They use about $1.50 per student. That's what they had last final cycle. That's what they were asking to stay at. Super short report. There was nothing really to say there.
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve. There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll go into voting. All in favor of giving EARS $1.50, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed. All abstaining. By a vote of 21 to 0 to 1, EARS has received $1.50. Cornell Minds Matter.
Yes. So Cornell Minds Matter provides support for, awareness for mental health, seeking mental health help. They aren't counselors by any means, but they do try and make Cornell a little bit less stressful and a little bit more comfortable for students on our campus. They do events out in Willard Street every week. Like the Bamboo or like the other like little fun spa nights and things that they do. They were at $2. They wanted to go to $2.50 to kind of become more of an umbrella org for other mental health oriented groups. We felt comfortable with that, and we thought that like their mission obviously is very productive and very helpful for everyone on campus. There also wasn't a lot of contention around this.
Any questions for Mariah? Yep, Tomas.
I know it's anonymous, but would anyone like to speak on why there was one person who voted no and like?
I have no idea who that was. I don't even know if they're on the if they're an SA member or not.
I think that part of the
I do remember that during discussion one of the things that was brought up was that because they didn't have, and I wrote this in the report, but because they didn't have any structure or criteria set in place yet about how they planned on going about divvying up the $10,000 that they allocated for co-sponsorships, that was kind of just like one point of concern. So maybe that's what that person was voting with in mind, but that was pretty much the only thing that anyone saw as like an issue. I also mentioned the surplus. So that was another thing that was like slightly contentious. It wasn't really talked about too much, but they did have a little bit of a big surplus, but the advisor explained that she was new last year and she was being like particularly stringent or particularly frugal, I guess you could say, and so she was like not spending as much as they could have, and so they had a little bit of a bigger surplus. And so those were the two reasons against giving them $2.50. So that is probably reflected in that one.
Great,
thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Mariah?
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion approved. There's a second. All in favor of giving Cornell Minds Matter $2.50, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 21 is 0-1. The CMM has been given $2.50. The next one is ECO.
Yes. So ECO is the umbrella org for all environmentally minded or environmentally focused groups on campus. They have about 20 plus orgs that are under their umbrella, including some project teams like Agua Clara or any other like Cornell Vegan Society, Cornell Thrift, like any of those organizations that are like around environmental sustainability. They were at 76 cents and they wanted $1 to, yeah, just to do more and bring more awareness to this. Many of us know that like environmental awareness is like something that is very up and coming within the last like decade and even more recently the last couple of years. And so, yeah, they want to expand. They want to have more people know about them and know about like the community on our campus that like supports these missions. And so, yeah, that was also not a super contentious vote. There is that one no vote. I literally don't even remember what that could have been about. I don't know if you remember. There was like nothing that I can think of that was, yeah.
Any questions or comments? For Mariah.
Motion to approve.
There's been a second. All in favor of giving ECO $1, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed. All abstaining. By a vote of 21-0-1, ECO has been given $1. We'll be moving into Resolution 11, approving special projects request for social enterprise at Cornell.
I'm also just going to stay here. So, SA Exec voted to give special projects funding to social enterprise at Cornell for a weekend workshop they did on design thinking. Exec discussed it, they presented it to us, and we decided to award them a funding amount of $1,750. Any questions?
No. Anyone want to get on the speakers list? Jacob.
How much money is there left over in special project funding right now?
We are currently assessing that because we were inundated with a lot of them, so we're catching ourselves up. But if the assembly remembers, last meeting we approved a $70,000 transfer to us, so
yeah,
we have like an extra $70,000 to whatever we started off the year minus the projects.
So we're chilling.
And so actually, do you mind if I add a comment? That's not really related to
yep.
the resolution, but
Mariah.
Just in general, if any of you have like projects or anything related to your constituents or like initiatives that you want to see like moving forward, like I know a lot of people in their platform like have a lot of things that they say they're going to do, and I'm not like trying to be mean, but just like in general, like if you do have like things that you kind of like, ran on and want to like see come to fruition, like definitely like use you like all of us are allowed to like spend money on initiatives that we have, so we do also have an additional $70,000. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, projects or anything like that you want
I
to
will
see happen.
I will also add, if these events have already happened and you want retroactive funding, I would discourage you from applying for special projects fund, but you still may until we implement rules about that.
Or even just a reimbursement, as long as you have a receipt, we
yeah.
can do a reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also in special projects right now, we're using a type form. We're going to be transitioning that form to a form supported by the Office of Assemblies for like sustainability purposes, because so far the form has just turned over from exec team to exec team. So this, the one that the office is creating with us, is going to be sustainable and on our assembly.cornell.edu website forever.
Cool.
There's been a motion vote. Is there a second?
Okay, motion to move to business of the day.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes.
Second.
Our parliamentarian.
Is there a second to move it? Second. All in favor of moving this into business of the day, please raise your hand or placard. Clearly 2/3. 21-0-1.
Motion to vote.
There's been a motion vote. There's a second. Any dissent on voting?
No. Is that dissent?
No.
Seeing no comment.
Can you withdraw the motion?
I'll withdraw.
Is it CAD? Oh, don't withdraw. It's an unrelated comment. Actually, it's a point of information.
Yes. What's your point of information?
The parliamentarian is a CAD.
No.
That's
Debbie. Debbie. So if Debbie's not here, I'm just the parliamentarian in addition to being chair. Thank you. There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? There's been a second. Or is there not a second? That's a second. Thank you. All in favor, please, of approving Resolution 11, please raise your hand or placard. all opposed, and all abstaining. By a vote of 21 to 0 to 2. No, I'm not counting you in the abstaining. 21 to 0 to 2, RMA. Didn't, sorry. Yeah, they just walked in, so. Okay. I say Resolution 11 passes. We'll be moving in Resolution 12. Masa and Julian. I think it's the following meeting from the MacCom. It references. Like the following meeting. That's replying to filing for media resolutions. I don't know. We'll have to look at that. Go for it.
Okay, so, hi everyone. We are proposing a resolution to amend one of our bylaws regarding how the community vote is counted based on what happened last year. And so, what's the resolution?
So basically, like, the way the bylaws are structured now, it says that during certain types of legislation, we collect a community vote, but it only says that the parliamentarian verifies undergraduate status and then takes the vote, but it doesn't really, like, give any procedure for how that should be done, which, for small groups of people, is fine, but when we have groups of people, like, over 400 or 500, that's just not feasible. In addition to that, it also creates accessibility issues, because if you're asking people of certain communities to show up to a student assembly vote, communities of higher SES are going to be more able to organize. Communities of lower SES are going to be less able to organize. Also, as we saw during the community vote last semester, it creates a privacy issue, particularly in votes that are particularly contentious and in which people's votes might put them in personal peril. It's really hard to protect people's privacy to a satisfactory extent when we're collecting votes in person. So we proposed
that there's a Qualtrics survey to be prepared, and it would have the resolution and then a link to the live stream of the resolution. The Qualtrics survey would be available at the time at the start of the SA meeting and would close before voting begins. And then that way, the Qualtrics survey has a CUF authorization, so we would ensure that no one logs in more than once and votes more than once, which could have happened in how the system was last year. And what else? There's a live stream, so anyone who was not be able to attend the meeting would actually be able to watch and see how the meeting is, like, what is happening in the meeting. And the resolution that is being voted on will be on the survey, and survey would be yes, no, or abstention.
I mean, understand that a challenge to this is that people might say that people are just going to, like, drop this link to the Qualtrics and the group meetings and people are just going to vote at it en masse. But I think the reality is, first of all, in votes that are going to be this contentious, they're going to be political enough and polarizing enough that everybody's going to probably have an opinion. Furthermore, the same thing was really happening with physical votes, where groups would just, like, tell students to show up and vote a certain way. So I think substantively, the damage, or this resolution isn't perfect, but it's a lot better than the reason before.
So I have Noah, Kat, Indigo, Brian. Anyone else? No? Feel free to raise your hand as conversation continues. So we'll start with Noah.
I think this is really cool, and I appreciate you guys doing this. Just, I have one question about, like, how, like, much time in advance are you giving people to, like, know about this bill will be taking place?
So, like, when a resolution is built, or usually it's, like, new business, and then it would be business of the day the week after. So, essentially, people would have a week's notice. And,
as in the case with physical community votes, it really comes to the organizations that are, that have stakes in the game to organize people to go to the link. I think in that regard, it's very similar to the physical community vote.
So, when will you send those people's emails?
Oh, the link will be available on student assembly's website. We would not be sending any links. Like, it would just be available on the student assembly's website. And so, organizations that like have easy access to the link.
Kat.
So first, I wanted to clarify for new members who might not have been here last year, because we have members who are new, that last year we had a particularly contentious vote. We had like tons of people pack the room, and then the only way that we were able to collect votes was like get a go around. People had to like verbally say what their vote was, and that made some people feel uncomfortable, especially if you there are like perils for like undocumented students or anything else. So this is the reason for the online voting. So that's a clarification. And then for my question, so for instance, like I really love this idea. I think just my question is, if we have like, for instance, a sense of the body resolution and there are only say three people in the audience that day, would we still resort to this online method or could we just do it really in person? Kind of easy?
I don't think that this is particularly challenging. I don't think it's particularly challenging to set up this electronic survey, but I think we could amend it so that in cases or that people bringing forth resolutions could opt to have it be in-person vote verification,
okay.
But have the default still be an electronic vote.
Gotcha.
But also, like having only three people could have been that the other people who would have wanted to show up just could not.
Sure, that makes sense.
And that's why we want.
Great, Indigo.
Okay, I think this is an excellent idea, and you both executed this resolution really well. I totally think that it'll remove a lot of the barriers that we saw last year. My question is, like, what will be, like, the exact, like, voting period, like, that this link will be live? Like, I'm wondering if, like, similar to the vote last year, will it be, like, community votes open, like, now you can vote, or will be people be able to, like, go on the website and, like, vote using this link during like any time that we're discussing the resolution?
So it'll go live at the beginning of the student assembly meeting and it will end right before the student assembly takes a vote. So the live stream will cover the discussion that we have over the issue. That way people could be on the webpage and hear what we're saying about it.
Okay. And then the vote, like the results will be immediately accessible, like as soon as you end it?
Because the bylaws dictate that the assembly has to be aware of which way the community votes after community vote, which we didn't actually say true during the vote last semester.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I think, would help us do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Brian.
Yeah, so I guess my question is two things. One thing, I think someone mentioned that like we could allow people with sponsors of resolutions to be like, oh, no, we don't want it online. I would think if we're making this the case, it needs to be like all or nothing, because I can see a case, for example, if you have a group of that can get a lot of members out to vote to the meeting and say, and that group is passing a resolution that might be able to come out of the group that cannot get as many members out, that would be like really concerning to the group that cannot hold that
survey. I suggested that in passing in response to a question, and I now realize that it probably
And then my second thing is just like technologically, is this feasible? If someone can post this on the website at like a few minutes, like it just. We have the tech capacity to do this.
We discussed this with the Office of Assembly, and like based on what they told us, that this
awesome.
Should be cool.
Thank you.
Great, Morgan.
Okay, so I'm not challenging you at all. I'm going to vote for this. But I'm just wondering, once the person votes, they're allowed to change their vote, like because they'll be watching discussion, and if their mind is changed, can they like touch? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would come down to the logistics of like how long this is. So we could look into that.
You're on the second speaker. Did they finish your question? John, go for it.
I'm just wondering. I agree with Brian's point earlier about sort of, I think there needs to be like consistency in this in order to make sure that people don't find the loophole the way around it. And was that supposed to be a question or was that just
speaking? You can say whatever you want.
yeah, and I also think that we might want to err on the side of going, once you vote this way, you should vote this way, and say be advised to like, if there's a live stream, like, please try and like, watch that and then make your decision. That way, you know, it's a bit strict. It is, but it will make it a lot easier to, you
Socialist Tomas.
My one concern is like the language just specifying Qualtrics, just because like that is the system we use now, but like 5 years from now, in theory, you point out inside UCL. So maybe just using different language, like specifying like a secure survey, but not necessarily Qualtrics.
Concern would be that for other surveys, it might not be that it like doesn't report individual voting information, because that's what we're doing with Qualtrics.
That's what we specifically
yeah, here. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
And we wanted Qualtrics because you can use the CUF authorization. So
I support Qualtrics now. I'm just saying that 5 years where we don't use Qualtrics.
Do I have anyone for the first speakers list who hasn't spoken? The people I have on the second speakers list is Noah, Indigo, and Morgan. Anyone else for the first speakers list before I move? So I'm going to move. Oh, Osai? Yeah.
So what if we decide in the middle of the meeting to change it to sensitive body? Like, would we have to do, like, would this online system be done ahead of time, or do you just something just in the middle of the meeting?
So it's really not congruent with the bylaws to change the meeting to a sense of the body resolution, like during the meeting, and I believe before the meeting would, or the vote would occur at the meeting the following. So that would give time for the parliamentarian and the clerk to set up the online platform.
Moving on to the second speaker's list, if you haven't spoken, just raise your hand and that I figure out how to do it. Noah.
So this is just like more of a question about the community vote in general. Will SA members also be able to vote like twice? Like online and also like in person? Or like will you like stop? How will you stop?
So the way community votes works, it's the people that vote in a community vote are non-voting members of the SA. So ex officios of the SA are allowed to vote, community members are allowed to vote, but SA voting members aren't allowed to vote in the community vote.
Yeah. Wait, no, it's a good point. We should be like marked off of the system. I guess technically.
Wait, should. No. Continue. Do you want to answer?
That was an odd concern. I think you could argue that the same kind of danger presented itself with physical votes. Just any SM member could just have someone like do a proxy vote for them and essentially do the same thing. But I'm not sure if there's any way to.
There's probably a way we can discuss with the office between now and next week. We can offer clarification on that. Okay. Yep. Indigo.
2 points. One, going off of what Noah just said, I think it'd be great if we could look into if there is a way that student assembly members could be marked as just separate and not eligible to vote in the community vote. Something we can ask. Also, going off of Morgan's question from before, I have to disagree with John's point. Like, I just don't think your vote should be binding when you're a member of the community, just because like if we have the technological capacity to have it be edited, I think that'd be better. Just in the case of like some people that maybe in like clubs seat in a group meet, be like, oh, like I'll go, like I'll vote, like everyone's saying vote no, I'll just vote no, and maybe they like watch the live stream and are like, wait, like I totally think the opposite thing, like I want to change my vote. Like if there could be like you can still access your login and then there could just be a button to edit your vote so it's not like counted as two, but you can just reverse it.
Morgan.
I just wanted to say, if there's no way to do that, which I hope there is, then maybe just put before they vote a little pop up that says, if you say no, this is a binding vote, so you can't change it.
Yeah. Valentina.
I was going to say, like, how about you just open the period when we are voting? Because in that way, they would have watched the video. Or if they decide to not watch it, they already have their thing in mind. They will just be voting the thing. So, like, what's your...
It's just such little amount of
time. Yeah, part of it is, like, how little amount of time it is. Okay. The idea is to make things more accessible. I think if we're giving people, like, a 4-minute window to submit votes, that might be problematic. Also, technically, it is supposed to be conducted prior to the essay vote, so they can announce how the community feels at the beginning of our voting.
Also, we have prelims 7:30 on Thursday nights. That could be an issue. Like, I don't want to be voting 2 minutes before walking into a prelim.
Wait, could you repeat that? What does prelims have to do with?
Like, no, like, let's just consider that people have prelims 7:30 on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
And like,
it might be stressful to have to like keep looking at it. Oh, it's mine. I mean, you know.
If our meeting goes on. If our meeting goes on. I have Yuhan, then Gavin. Go for it.
Just kind of response to Valentina's point is that think about what happened last year when BDS, there's like tons of people in William Street Hall. What happened was, we actually going to hold like an online voting at that time. The Wi-Fi service, I believe, in William Street Hall would be totally jammed, and basically nobody could use that at that time. So I would actually prefer we can, you know, start the voting like a little earlier than essay voting, so make sure that everyone has the equal opportunity to vote.
Yeah, but the, sorry.
Julian, you want to respond? Do you want to be on the speaker
system? Yeah, so definitely. I think the idea is to start the voting at the beginning of the meeting and end it directly prior to the voting. I don't think the Wi-Fi would be an issue so much as the actual like website, the server. It's like a million people are rushing it at once. But yeah, I agree with your point.
Great. Gavin?
I have a comment and just like a clarifying question. So my comment to the prelim is that I don't think that this is like the perfect model for accessibility, but it's open about accessibility, right? So like for people like right before the prelim, like they can go, but like, and so it's just opening up accessibility. And then my clarifying question was about,
Mariah.
Yeah, I was kind of just going to respond to you, Han, and say that, like, I guess I just didn't really understand what your point was about Wi-Fi, because, like, the point of this is that, like, not everyone has to be in Willard Street at the time of the vote, so, like, the Wi-Fi in Willard Street will most likely not be affected. Just in general, I mean, I guess I understand about the prelims. I don't really think that it makes that much sense. I think that this does open up accessibility more than it hurts accessibility. So,
I just meant, like, if we're doing, like, the 4-minute period and then the meeting, like, the voting literally happened at, like, 7:15, and, like, people are just, like, rushing to know that, oh, I need to submit this vote before I walk into my prelim. It's just
Oh, yeah, because that would happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like
even
the point
without
is that,
a
like,
question,
the smaller the window we allow for.
Yeah,
that's why she was saying that we shouldn't have it be 4 minutes and it should be, like, 2 hours long.
No, but I'm saying that even if, like, there will always be people who won't be able to vote.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, like, 4 minutes is just...
Yeah, no, that's what she was saying.
Okay, guys, no,
okay,
no more back
you,
and forth.
Thank
no more back
you.
And forth.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, so the one thing that, so like definitely, I don't think we should do 4 minutes. I think that's massively problematic. I think we should try to make it like multiple hours. The only issue I run into, so let's say that voting opens at 4:45, and then we decide that we're going to vote on it at 5:05. Like, that could very well happen. Like, we could maybe in one case not have that much to say, and we all just vote. And then people thought, oh, I have an hour and a half, 2 hours to vote, I have time to get this out. Yet they actually only had 20 minutes. So I wonder if, and I know that this presents some problems, maybe instead of opening it, for, you know, at 4:45, we open it that morning or something, just so we ensure that there is a larger block of time for people to do it. My suggestion would be to open it sometime that morning, let's say 9 a.m., 10 a.m., leave it open until 4:45. That way, you know, there's no issue that you can vote before the essay meeting, other than you do it in front of 10 people. So, like, this is, I think the issue is the variable end time to vote. Like, you can't just, like, if it was a regular election, you're going to the polls, and you show up, and you know, I went to go vote at 8:30. But they were like, oh, yeah, actually, today we closed at 7:45. Sorry, like, too bad. I'd be like, well, what the hell, but I wanted to vote. So we just need to make sure that, like, I see an issue with a variable vote end time, just because that's generally not how voting works. So we just should figure that out.
I agree. When I first, like, started, or when we first started thinking about this resolution, we wanted it to be, like, the start of the day of the SI meeting, but that's just too much referendum. And the point of this is to keep it as close to the current structure for community vote as we can. Also, I think, in theory, it's possible that a meeting could last 15 minutes, but I'm not sure if that's ever happened, and I'm sure an issue is so polarizing that we would have a significant number of undergraduates concerned with the outcome that the deliberations would last less than, like, you know, honestly, like an hour. But, yeah, I think those are good considerations to take.
And then, so, like, the whole point of the community votes being conducted during the meeting is because they want to listen to what is going on in the meeting and what kind of information they can get.
Great. Gavin.
I had a question, and this is a question I have. I'm sorry. Will we have access to what the public vote is, the community vote is, before we vote? I just don't know.
Yeah, that's how community votes are. The result of a community vote is revealed to the assembly before the assembly takes their votes. Nope. In that's how it's written. Last year it didn't happen. Arme.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the concern raised about like when to start the voting. I could understand like if we wanted to set like a certain amount of time that, you know, people should have to vote, but I feel like community votes don't happen very often, and it's difficult to imagine a situation in which we would have something contentious enough to have a community vote. I think you basically said this, in which we wouldn't have like a meeting in which, you know, people would give people time to vote. And also the point of people being able to watch the meeting before they vote is because, you know, in theory we would be debating about it. And then, you know, some of the considerations brought up might, you know, influence their vote. So I think, you know, wouldn't that, like, a provision like that wouldn't hurt, but ultimately probably wouldn't be too, like, necessary to put in, like, a time provision.
Do you want to respond? No.
I agree.
Okay. John.
I don't know. I feel like these don't, I agree in the fact that these don't occur very often, but I do think we have to be prepared for the eventuality that major controversial things will come up, and I think it's very important that we have a set process in which to deal with it, well, to, you know, make sure everyone's voice is heard. So I think maybe going into the morning is a little bit much, but I do think there's the idea of having an absentee ballot where we would have maybe just start at noon and then end early. So essentially, I think the window of the meeting may be a bit too little, but I think multiple hours during the day might be a little bit too long. But I definitely think there's a compromise within that window. And also, I think there might be some value in sort of saying, like, this is a hard deadline of, like, when we're going to get the community votes back, when those are going to be collected. I'm not entirely sure, like, how fast Qualtrics can say this is the number. But maybe, let's say if the meeting, like, ends, which probably won't because it's controversial, a lot of discussion, if it ends early, we say that to recess, wait for the final deadline of the community vote, and then vote as an assembly.
Do you want to respond?
So I think to try and go through those points one by one, first, like, we're not ignoring the fact that we're probably going to have, this is going to happen in the context of, like, really contentious issues of forest on campus, because I think this was designed specifically for those cases. I think we would love to, like, extend this voting for as long as possible, but that's just, like, kind of, it turns into a gray area where it's unclear whether this is a community vote or a referendum, and so to be as clear as possible if this is a community vote, and to stay as true to the existing bylaws as we can, it just happens to be that it's open at the beginning of the meeting and it closes at the end of debate. But I think realistically that's going to be an hour or two, which in the case of a really contentious debate, we should be organizing extensively. They can tell their members, okay, like, five now, like, go back. But yeah, I think it's not perfect, but it does eliminate a lot of the accessibility issues that we're concerned about.
Perfect. Great. Tomas.
I agree with the concerns about variable end time, but I think that's a concern that exists with the current system anyways, because I know last year during the BDS vote, I had to run from where I was to make it in time to vote, because we were like, oh, it's closing soon, right? So I think that's an issue that exists anyways. So really it goes back to the point that's been made prior, which is that it's not perfect, but it's more accessible than the current system, and I think that's what we should be moving towards, is making it as accessible as possible with the tools we currently have.
Great. Ian.
Another thing to consider is that like typically when a resolution is introduced, it's a new business, and oftentimes we do move new business to business of the day and then vote on the same day. And kind of in that case, there might be issues there. But if the regular procedure of it being introduced 1 week and then voted on the next week, people would have access to the discussion from the previous week for the following week's voting.
Mariah.
Yeah, I was kind of echo what Tomas said of like, yeah, I think that variable end time is like a big concern, but yeah, I wonder if there's really any way to fix that, whether it's like in person or online. And maybe that's something to talk about in the future, but and or maybe I missed it, maybe you made a point while I was out. But I guess kind of what like the style of this vote, there's always gonna be a variable end time unless we like wanna say like it happens an hour after discussion, or like unless we set an end time, like there will always be a variable end time.
Also, I think going to votes like this, if groups understand that if there's no debate, there's not going to be a lot of time for people to vote. I think people would be incentivized to have people discuss it and maybe to like before debate meetings. Like if I were a group and my resolution was going to the floor and make sure that I had enough content, or like I had enough people talking, that I had at least like an hour.
Valentina.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the point Morgan brought up about like it's not popular to maybe submit like multiple times if you do change your mind. I actually agree that with the timing this resolution proposed, I think it's probably better to like start like a few hours before and then end when we end. I don't think it's that necessary to start on the morning or anything, because I feel like if people care enough, they would go watch the video, and then at the end of it, they will vote. Or if they already know what they're doing and then they don't want to watch the video, they can like submit a vote. So my point is that just to include kind of like a disclaimer or something, make it very clear, and also like probably like we should do something about like saying to people that this is the only one time you will be able to vote. So like there's just no confusion when they're going to voting.
I just have Indigo left on the speakers list.
Yeah.
Indigo.
Thanks. It's not very important. Just respond to that. Like, I think it needs to be open at the start of the meeting and not before that, just because it does enter this gray area with like being a referendum or a community vote, and like that just is the nature of the community vote right now. Like, it's during the meeting time, and like Gavin said, we're not trying to create like this perfect like accessible model, because that would be a whole different thing. Like, we're trying to make it as accessible as possible, like within like the current means of the community vote, which is why I think it needs to be at 4:45. But also, I do think that you should be able to change your vote if it's within the technological means.
There's been a motion to table. There's a second. Is there dissent? Seeing no dissent, all in favor of tabling, please raise your hand as placard. By a vote of 23-0-1, this resolution has been tabled to next meeting. If you have comments and questions for Julian and Masa, please reach out to them in the interim. They'll be talking to the office to talk about some of the things. Now we'll be moving into Resolution 13.
Joe, am I chair, parliamentarian, and EDP right now?
Actually,
I'm parliamentarian still.
You're
chair.
I'm chair.
No.
And EDP.
I'm president, parliamentarian, chief EDP chair right now.
Alright. Joe, do you want to introduce your resolution?
Yeah, so nothing too terribly special in the world. It's a committee, woo, bureaucracy. So this kind of idea was birthed out of the Appropriations Committee discussion around the Professional Fraternity Council and kind of a lot of the practice of PFOs, professional fraternity organizations affiliated with PFC, hovering around several sets of issues, whether that be diversity inclusion, selection, pledge processing, new member education, however you want to call it. And I think there was a lot of questions that the student assembly would like answers to, in the sense of like, hey, how would this thing work if we end up putting this in our appendix B? for individuals that don't know, Appendix B are the regulations that we put upon byline organizations and organizations receiving a student activity fee. Some are broad, such as the non-discrimination clause that applies to any organization receiving the student activity fee, and some are organization-specific. So for all of our byline organizations, including the Student Assembly, which is a byline org itself, we put specific recommendations or specific regulations for that organization. And so a lot of the conversation with PSC centered around not only the funding decision, but the conversation that would happen in the spring about what are the organization-specific Appendix B regulations that we're going to be putting into our Appendix B, which is ultimately part of our charter. And in order to facilitate this process, to make sure that it's not, you know, confrontational and hostile, because, you know, you want to find a balance between making sure that the regulations that you put upon our organizations are effective from the Student Assembly side, but are also sensible in the fact that it doesn't break the organizational function of that organization. And you want to make sure, especially when it comes to umbrella organizations, that if you are putting a regulation in, is it affecting the organization, the umbrella itself, or is it also affecting the sub-organizations under that umbrella? And so this committee essentially brings together PFC members, members who might be part of their e-board, or members who might be part of the PFOs affiliated with PFC, and SA members who are both members of AFSCOM and members who are not on AFSCOM, because ultimately, at the end of the day, AFSCOM makes the recommendation to the finalized assembly. So this is just for an ad hoc committee. The committee is unique in the sense that it is co-chaired between an SA member and a member of the PFC, just to make sure that we're truly building a set of regulations that makes sense and that actually holds these organizations accountable if we do feel like they're abusing student activity fee and practices that we don't find necessarily conducive to campus culture. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Comments or questions for Joe? Raise your hands. Or if there's a motion.
Motion to vote.
The business of the day and vote.
Motion to vote.
Second. Second? Okay. Raise your hand. And 1, 2, 3. Joe, can you vote?
23.
Thank you. All right.
Motion to vote.
Is there a second? Okay, second. Please raise your placards. Yay. 23 again?
Yep.
Cool. Okay, this resolution passes. 23-0.
Motion to adjourn to executive session.
Second.
Oh, okay. Raise your hand. Cool, it just passes.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.